Well, here we are, and here he is, the man who can't lose, ready to claim his throne once again. The back-to-back, 3-4, 5-in, depends on how you really count it here, but it's really, what, five out of six now?
Yeah, 5 out of 6.
5 out of 6, 6 out of 8. Champion Ira, welcome. I guess, I mean, it's pretty grim for the rest of us, but I guess congratulations on your win. No one seemed too enthused for you after the victory here this year.
Yeah, I understand that, you know, it used to be the Dark Ages. Maybe we're still in the Dark Ages. You know, it's a challenging time. I mean, I do think the league certainly put up a fight. I wouldn't call it an easy victory this year, but you know, every year that I keep this dynasty going, I feel very fortunate. So definitely savoring the moment, and glad we can have a little whirlwind tour of what transpired.
Look, I mean, I kind of like half jokingly bring this up every year, but like, it's kind of hard for everyone. Like, everyone tries. Like, both. I mean, I know you don't necessarily agree with that, but I mean, in my opinion, there are enough managers putting up a pretty good effort every year. Can't seem to get past you when your team doesn't have a colossal health breakdown. You know, why are we even doing this anymore? You know, like, you know, it begs the question.
Well, I do think it adds a little bit of intrigue. I mean, I'm the big bad at this point right now. I guess I'm the superpower, and you know, defeating a superpower feels pretty damn good. No, so yeah, it's I think in that regard, any championship that is won by defeating me in the process, you know, it definitely adds a little something to the process. But look, we just saw in the quarterfinals, we saw in the semifinals, I was on the ropes. I mean, those were nail-biter matchups. Yeah, I do think a lot of luck is involved. No, I've been in the conversation many years, but there's plenty of years I lost in the past. Yeah, any little edge helps.
Well, sure, but let's see. Your all-time average finish now is 2.3. Since the expanded rosters, which began in 2018, your average finish is 1.33. The next closest is Justin at 3.33, and then no one else is below 5. So, you know, I don't even know, man. Like, you know, do we revert back to the old school rules? Is it just that you kind of learned how to play in those early years and had some bad luck with KG or whatever in that era, and now you've kind of figured out moving beyond that? Is this salvageable at all for the rest of us?
Well, to me, clearly salvageable in my opinion. Look, roster expansion is not something I've always been a proponent of. And everyone seems to always be eager to continue giving more flexibility, more IL pluses, more roster spots, you know, having a late keeper, like all these additional rules. I mean, there's the haves and the have-nots, and it's definitely going to hurt people when you give more, I don't know, when there's more processes to the game, favor people that are really want to spend their time playing the game. That's something I enjoy doing, so I think all these little extra tools are only a plus to me, and I've tried to remove them, and people seem to like them.
You know, there's certain ones you try to remove, you know, but yeah, this is kind of where I always argue with John every year when he complains about, like, the one year that he got screwed personally because Dame Lillard, he couldn't move him, you know, and pick somebody else up. It's like, yeah, okay, that benefited you in that one situation, but, like, the pain that you would have felt by other people having that in place would have kind of nullified your pain in this one instance. So, yeah. Anyway, congratulations on your win. Yeah, you overcame the odds yet again. You know, your moves this year, what? Not crazy, right? Not insane.
There's obviously, now that we have the 10 weekly moves, that, I mean, that limits how much people can really go. Well, we're talking about 230 is the max, right?
Yeah.
So, I guess, I don't know, preseason, I guess you can make moves also. I guess those count, but there's no limit in the preseason before games begin. But yeah, I mean, I think the moves matter. I mean, I looked at it, you know, I mean, we could get into other teams, but I had 6 trades this year. which is, I think, the next most. Well, probably you had a lot of deals in the other direction, but, you know, my competition, like the Justins and Andrews, they each had two. So, I mean, yeah, it's, I don't know. You got to find edges where you can, and I get every little edge I can and try to make a winning team that at least has a chance. Because, yeah, I mean, all this shit's luck at the end of the day. Anthony Davis can get hurt any season. And, you know, there goes my chances. Happened to other teams that's had them. So, yeah. Health is definitely not a guarantee for nobody, whether you have Scottie Barnes or, you know, you're a Dank with a Zion sitting out. You know, every team's going to have injuries. So, you know, all you can do is kind of have as many pieces as you can so you can keep standing when someone goes down.
Yeah, and look, the dream for Dank kind of came crashing to an end there. It was pretty close to the last day there. You know, Sternum was right there for the taking. You know, it does kind of feel, you know, like, you know, I guess your question here is, what are the takeaways for the Dank and the non-immortals out there? Speaking as one of those, you know, I just think you got to keep trying. You got to keep bringing it every year, or, you know, every other year at least, and do what you can to win. But I think it's, you know, I think it's proving harder and harder to knock you off. And, you know, in your off years is generally Justin lurking or Andrew lurking. So it's tough out there for the non-immortals, even those of us who kind of try on an active basis.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Dan's season is, like, you can kind of take it both directions. It's definitely some hope, I think, for everybody out there when you can make 18 moves, you know, have Yahoo draft for you. And, you know, he damn near won the title. I mean, we've ran this back 20 seasons now. So, you know, that's a lot of attempts, especially league-wide, looking at it that way. But, I mean, definitely luck. You could have the right pieces from draft day, and you could ride those pieces and, you know, win a championship. So
yeah, and I think it really felt this way this year that, like, we kept looking at these rosters all season long, and we're like, does Dan's team really have it? Justin and Andrew's team look so much better. You know, your team was coming.
Dan's draft board. He had an extra seventh and a ninth rounder. That's it.
Yeah.
It was a pretty normal draft board.
And we talk about this too, like, so much of it kind of comes down to, are guys healthy? Are guys all performing at the same time in the right time, basically, right? And I think my team is a funny example of, like, every Saturday it seemed like I was in the lead in my matchups all season long, and then Sunday rolled around and I lost, you know, like 6-3. I went from like a 6-3 win to a 6-3 loss, like, every Sunday it felt like. Dan had some good stuff going for him. I think he was paying attention this year. You're right, his moves were not that high, but I think he set his lineups for the most part and, you know, was on top of things, and that's kind of as important as anything.
Yeah, no, the team was largely healthy, you know, up and down the roster. I don't know, I guess, like, Tyler Hero missed a lot of time, but Robert Williams went down, but, like, you know, the team he drafted, all these guys stayed, whether it, you know, LeBron, Paul George, Jared Allen, Tyler Hero, Chris Paul, Michael Porter Jr., Terry Rozier. Yeah, these were all seventh rounders or sooner besides Michael Porter Jr. And D'Angelo Russell in the 10th. The Daniel Gafford keeper in the 12th. I mean, he just had a strong draft up and down. You know, I'd say probably not many youngsters on that roster. So I guess that's something to, when you're kind of looking at the league's biases, you know, we let a lot of veterans slide, which, you know, often that's okay when you have, like, the Tim Duncans of the world and the Chris Pauls of the world and LeBrons, but they were healthy. They kept it going all year. And Dan rode that past Andrew's team, you know, kind of the complete opposite squad that had all these picks to work with wound up falling to the team that wasn't even at draft day.
Yeah. You know, I think, and yeah, it's probably some luck in that, but, like, he seems to have vets that were guys that wanted to be proving things and kind of had to be playing at certain points in time. So it's a good roster. I hope Dan's able to parlay it into another decent season. You know, his board for next year, it's not great. It'll probably be a down year.
Well, you got to pay if you want to get Ben Simmons. It's to be expected.
For sure. We all know that. But look, I think it was a really good season for Dan. He should be happy with what he did. In most other seasons, he'd be winning the Nissenson Award. You know, like he was literally a top four team wire to wire. So really good stuff. Yeah. Good competitive year.
Yeah, you know, we'll say it's I was crunching some fun stats from the average finish. This is he's at 8.95 now. That's the best he's been since 2013. So, you know, this is definitely a high watermark in the danky lifespan in this league.
A big step towards Corey here. He's still got, you know, six tenths of a point to go to close the gap there. But, you know, well, next season he finishes in like 10th instead of 12th. Then maybe the next year he's in like 6th, 7th again. You know, not so bad. Not so bad.
Yeah, baby steps. Yeah, love to see it. Good to see. I mean, I will say, we're touching on a second place team. If you look at second place over like the last decade, basically every team has come in second place. It's in terms of competing, it's definitely, you know, on the table, whether it's Dank, yourself. We've seen Andrew get it. We saw Justin get it. We saw Duran get it in that COVID year that obviously he was going to get first. Garrett took second his perfect season. Yeah, it's, even Shavir back in 2015 took second place. John in 2016, his first year, took second place. So second's very achievable, but yes. Yeah, definitely challenging to get to the mountaintop, though.
Yeah, it is not easy. But look, Dan has now arguably had a better 5-year run than Trevier. So, well, you know.
Last five? Easily.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
Yep. Average finish, he's right outside of Trevier. But like in that 5-year span, Trevier had 1 6th place finish and four playoff misses. Dan's had a second and a fifth. So not terrible. Not terrible. He's on the way. He's on the way up. Okay. Andrew's team, Justin's team, what is there to say about them? They were, to me, the clear favorites for most of the year. You know, I think Andrew's not going to be too concerned about this season with Wembanyama going forward. What in your mind happened to Andrew's team? Was it just injuries in the down the street? I mean, did it feel like there were like a crazy amount of injuries and this year, like in past years, you had like more COVID stuff, but like this year, it seemed like everyone was kind of hurt the last like 2 weeks of the season, more than usual.
Yeah, I guess I haven't done research or tried to find numbers for like if it was, you know, more injuries happening than usual. I would say I did notice just like across the league, like the numbers just weren't as high like in the playoff matchups as we'd see in past years. I'm not sure if that was because of like the schedule that we were dealing with for the playoffs or what exactly, but like, I mean, just across the board, like Dan's team, Justin's team, my team, John's team, Andrew's team, like none of the numbers were like, we weren't talking 1,000 points. We weren't talking 350 plus rebounds. The numbers weren't jumping off the pages. Yeah, Andrew's team, it kind of stayed the same the entire season. Like, you know, I had a rotating cast of injuries. LaMelo definitely was a huge collapse. You know, we saw Desmond Bane go down, but Andrew was able to pivot that into something. You know, I would say the Kyrie trade was a good one and effective, but he needed more trades like that, you know, bringing in the, he got like a Jonas Valanciunas. I mean, you know, I mean, Jamal Murray had some good games, but I mean, he's a limited player. I mean, I think you got Tobias Harris, who is okay. He's Tobias Harris. Like, these aren't, you know.
Tobias Harris is like a modern-day Kevin Martin. Like, he just doesn't really impact winning in either real life or fantasy, but he's, like, too good to not be considered kind of a star. It's, like, it's a real weird situation there.
Yes, I mean, like, these weren't huge swing trades. He didn't bring in, like, a Jokic. He didn't bring in Kevin Durant. I don't know. He didn't – and he didn't get a Trae Young. He got Kyrie. Nice upgrade, but I think this roster, I guess, just needed more to get over the finish line. I mean –
I mean, he probably felt like he was dominant and he had the best roster by far all year. He probably just needed some reinforcements at the bottom. You know, I don't think his strategy was wrong, you know, but the timing didn't work out.
I mean, I would say, you know, you get reinforced at the bottom, but also just if you.
Ira, All right.
Let's run it back.
We got disconnected. Even you know, the podcast gods were sick of hearing you talk about your success this year, I think. But all right.
We knew we had to get a new service, so this is another reminder. It's time beautiful. For an upgrade. League dues are coming up, boys.
Yep. All right, who else do we want to talk about? We talked about Andrew a little bit. I want to talk about Justin. Justin leading most of the season as well. Couldn't take down Ira despite all of his attempts at reverse jinxing. What did you find to be his fatal flaw?
Yeah, I think, you know, on the trade front also another lackluster effort. I think the past two seasons now we've seen Justin kind of not having the same spunk to the trade process. I don't know if it's the Conley Accords or just kind of getting the best of them. If, I don't know, Paul's tactics of, you know, conspiring against Justin or, you know, coming to fruition. hard to say what the issue is, but it just doesn't seem like Justin's able to, you know, he got a Pascal Siakam, he got a Mikal Bridges. Both were underperforming. It's fine. And, you know, he did the Corey deal. That was a fleece, but.
I was going to say, he fleeced Corey. So, like, I mean, you know, it's not like he didn't do anything.
I mean, he was active. I mean, we're talking about two trades. I'm just saying, if we're trying to like see the difference in teams, and like we're talking about a very thin margin.
But so this is the impact of Conley, right? Is that you really can't do more than like two trades? It's pretty tough.
You have to really
be pretty creative and have the right pieces to be pretty creative.
Yeah, I mean, I would say. I mean, you got to find value where you can find managers who are willing. It's the right timing. We've talked about. To me, like if I could turn a third rounder into a ninth rounder, at least I have another bite at the apple with that ninth rounder. Just because Conley, you know, ensures that my 10th rounder, you know, can't be traded as the main pick anymore. So, you know, that's something to think about if you want to keep having another go at things. But, you know, I mean, six deals you can do with 3 through 9 on your team. I don't have many picks left. I have a lot of sevens next year.
I kind of mentioned like the lower managers run out of picks that they could kind of improve with in Conley as well. So that's kind of the other thing. If people aren't willing to give up their this year, no one was really willing to part with their third round picks, which is a departure, I think, from the past season or two. People were definitely more conservative with their high end picks.
Well, it was a weird year with, I guess, I mean, the fact that Garrett decided never to go for it. John didn't go for it. You know, Levy had his one trade, but he didn't really make any more pushes after his one, you know, Trae Young deal. And I mean, with the injuries he suffered, I guess he was going to be fucked anyway. But, and you know, Dan made a move or two, but he's not going to be, you know, pounding down people's doors, I don't think, in most seasons. So, you know, it was a thin group. And like we said, Andrew and Justin's teams were already pretty good from the draft. So, I guess in that regard, I had a bit of an advantage in that there wasn't a lot of people who are so interested in pushing for things. And I will say at the end, you know, it came down to blocks and then my semifinal matchup. You know, Justin picked up Keon Ellis, Tim Hardaway Jr., and Terrence Mann, thinking that like free throws and three pointers were going to be part of the process. And that wound up not being the case after you saw Saturday's numbers. You know, he made the move Saturday morning, you know, and so a little more information, a little better move making. Been a bit of a difference. We're talking about 3 or 4 blocks that spun the matchup. But yeah, it's little stuff. I don't know. He beat me a couple years ago, so it can be done.
Yep. I guess the other playoff team, we'll just kind of round it out here. John, we'll talk about Levy, I guess, too. You can kind of consider him a playoff team, but John kind of sneaked into the playoffs. Though he did have that weaker schedule towards the end, right? He almost kind of knocked you off. He had the best run against you in the postseason. Mm-hmm. What are your final thoughts on John? I still don't think much of the squad. I think he got a little bit hot at the right time facing you, maybe. But you know, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you have the correct read on this team. I mean, he had a nice run throughout the entire playoffs, but it was. The usual John. And like another thing that my team had going for was that it was a good all-around roster, which let me get through a John as opposed to a Bibbsy, as opposed to a Dank, which were different roster types. You know, John likes his one path, and I mean, he came damn near close to beating me, but I know he said he would have lost to Dan, and Justin would have been a tight matchup for him, depending on what kind of moves Justin made versus John. So, yeah, I mean, look, Chet had a great season, but, like, you know, that was, like, the only good big man on this roster. I think, you know, Bobby Portis was good for those couple weeks because of some injuries in Milwaukee, but, like, yeah, this team had the same weaknesses they always has. It came together, but, like, we're seeing Dame isn't a top 10 guy anymore. We're seeing Steph might not be a top 10 guy anymore in fantasy. You know, it's time to retool. It might be time for John to consider what else he can go
and
for.
And it's so, like, I will go back to this. Like, John and All-Star was, like, I guess that night he was drinking a little bit. He had this idea he was going to trade Dame. But then, like, at the end of the day, he couldn't pull the trigger. Like, I think we should pay some respect to John at this point, right? He's now, and it's actually crazy looking at this. We still always feel like he's the new guy on the block, but this was his eighth season in the league, right? So he's no rookie anymore. He's made the playoffs 7 times. In that span of time, only you and Justin have made the playoffs as much or more than him. You had the same amount of success basically that way. Justin hasn't missed the playoff in that span, which is also super impressive. Only one ship in that run for Justin, which I'm sure he's disappointed at. So, look, you know, we like to tease John that he's never going to get over the hump, and maybe he won't, but, like, he's had as good of, like, a general run as any manager in the league, consistent year over year. What happens now is, like, we will see if he's Zach Shapiro, who inherited good keepers to some degree or wound up with good keepers and has rode that for a long time. And as those keepers age out, can he maintain what he's doing? Can he kind of backfill and kind of reset? Or is he going to kind of just, like, kind of fizzle and not replace those guys with that level of or caliber of player and just kind of be around 7-8 all the time? And we know John, if he's 7-8, he's not really going to make a push to be a top team. He feels that if he's not going into the trade deadline with a top 4 team, he doesn't think it's worth making those moves. That's kind of pretty clear for him. You know, what are your thoughts? I mean, so, like, yeah, I think John's been a very good manager. We have to see how he handles a changing of the guard. I think he has to do it next season. I think, you know, at least one of those two guys he needs to upgrade for a younger player. And don't tell me Miles Turner or anything like that. But, like, I think he's going to need to swap that out for a younger guy sometime soon.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I feel like we've been saying the same thing for a couple of years now, talking about this team. Look, I mean, he drafted some good players. Like, I mean, Evan Mobley had a very nice season again. Jalen Williams is up and coming. Like, other teams could keep, you know, these kinds of guys. I think.
But that's to me why, like, it would have been a great opportunity for him to sell one of those guys this year at the deadline for multiple good players, because you could do that with Dame. You could sell him as a keeper, and then you could keep one of those younger guys without feeling like you're taking that person over Dame. Like, to me, that's where the flaw, because look at Dame, man. Dame is kind of falling off. Like, maybe next year he's either going to bounce back or he's going to be done. Like, it's not like a Chris Paul situation. I don't think he's playing forever. He had bad knee injuries coming into the league, and fortunately that hasn't really reared its head, but, like, his body's probably going to break at some point. His mental is starting to break a little bit. It may just be coming towards the end for him. Steph, I have a little more faith in that he's going to find a way to do it a little bit longer. But, like, these guys are both getting to their late 30s now. It's not, you know, it's not sustainable forever.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, Dame had a pretty rough – he's had a rough go at things, shooting under 43% for the year, only 24 points a game. You know, I mean, those are his money makers.
And the year where scoring has been pretty high for most of the year too, right? Like, that's the other thing.
True. And with the new rules, I mean, you know, I mean, I know Adam Silver's trying to, like, downplay how things have changed, but I mean, the physicality is not going to make it easier for Dame or Steph.
So what I was alluding to, it's really fascinating. I actually shared it at work because it's kind of an interesting data alert issue. Basically, about a week or two after all those 60-point games, the free throw rate began dropping. And it doesn't seem like a huge number. Like, basically it dropped from, like, around 11 to a game to, like, 9.5 a game. So percentage wise, it's a pretty big dip. And it's resulted in lower scoring. Before the last 2 weeks, there was one team that scored in the 80s all season. In the last 2 weeks, there's been four teams that have scored in the 70s. So there's basically there's this effect that it, and the league is not admitting to it right now, but all the teams believe that the league has instructed the officials to let more shooting fouls go. Technical fouls are also down in this time span. Defensive 3 seconds are down. So there's this alternate theory that on top of people not liking the product of everyone is going to the line nonstop, it's shortening the games a little bit and making the product feel a little bit more watchable. So everyone keep their eye out for that a little bit, but very interesting article. I think Tom Haberstroh had a column on it this week. So check that out if you're interested.
Yeah. I mean, I think even Silver like admitted, like they're trying to call like what Steve Kerr complained about more, but like, yeah, like they're trying to like be like, oh, we're not really changing anything, but we did encourage like an emphasis on this. Yeah, it's interesting.
Well, I think what the coaches don't like is that there's an emphasis mid-season. Like, I think if they did this going into next year, no, like the teams wouldn't have an issue. But like, it's pretty hard to build your team around like a certain rule, and then that changes midway through the year. So I think it's better as fans, to be honest. Like, we've seen way too many. Like, I mean, yeah. Basically, NBA Twitter these days is basically just people sharing videos of Joel Embiid throwing himself into a defender who's just standing there and getting a whistle. So there's probably even more room to go there. But,
no, I'm with you. You're making me think of, coaches complaining about midseason changes. Welcome to fantasy, boys. You know, try implementing waivers for the playoffs, you know. Shock to the system. But, I think a good analysis. Look, John's definitely somebody you should take seriously if you're going to face him in the playoffs. But I mean, I don't know. I think like I try to emphasize luck. You could get through a matchup, but like if you want to win a championship, it's a lot easier when you have a lot, I think, more balance. I mean, look, John's got a lane, but one lane to victory head to head can be helpful, but you could have still 7 or 8 stats you go for instead of just 5 or 6. I mean, yeah, it's, so anyway, we'll see what happens.
You're right, because the margins are so thin in the playoffs, right? And like nothing ever goes as you expect. Like the whole thing with the regular season is there's 20 weeks. So even if you have one off week, it's gonna bounce back. In the playoffs, it's 3 weeks. You don't have time to recover. Look, John made a final in his first year. Hasn't been back since. I think he'll be back, but like, you know, I think what the thing with both of us is like, we almost just want to see John, you know, like not that I want John to win before me, obviously, but like, I think John has been a good manager. He's been, in my opinion, a great addition to the league. He was a huge upgrade from everyone who came before him. So we do want to see John just like put up a better fight in the playoffs. So, and not worry so much about like, oh, if I make this move, maybe I won't make the playoffs next year. Give yourself a fighting chance when you're in position to do it. It probably wasn't this year, but like next year, he hasn't sacrificed much. Like, get it done next year, John. That's all we want to see from you. The final playoff manager, Levy.
I would say, you know, the way you were discussing John's team, you know, I mean, it's, you know, make a push and things can happen. You know, Levy made a push and it did get him into the playoffs, which, hey, it snaps a long drought for the Dragon. I think he was the longest in the league at 5 years. Now Trevier is the leader with 4 years of no playoff appearances. You know, Levy's team was looking like something that you didn't want to have to deal with. But, you know, injuries got the best of them. I think this was a reminder that managing matters and that, you know, getting some practice at it will make a difference for the playoff run. Because Levy definitely had some
blunders. Practice. I mean, dude didn't set his lineups like a week or two before the playoffs. Like, you got it. Like, okay, you're not going to set your lineups the first 10 weeks. Like, fine. Like, you miss a day, fine. But like, as you're getting close to the playoffs, you got to be setting your lineups. You got to get in the rhythm. Like, I don't know what the excuse is.
Yeah, no, there's not. I agree. Not much of an excuse. I mean, he was carrying like Max Strus on his like in his IL spot for like the whole entire week versus Andrew. And it's just like, you know, it's the kind of thing where like, you know, we're expanding these rosters, we're adding all these extra holding spots for players. And like, that's a huge advantage if Levy's going to just carry dead weight there, that there's no reason that guy needs to be in your roster.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's just like a simple one. He had plenty of other guys that just like you know, just you got to look ahead a few days to realize, like, is this guy playing? Is my lineup maxed out for the day? I don't know. These are the kinds of things that more successful managers are doing, and it gives you a leg up in, you know, this weekly matchup format.
Yep. Oh, by the way, we didn't even touch on this, which I don't know how you missed this when we were talking about Dan's team. We love to talk about, like, how people's having kids are going to impact their performance in the league, but, like, Dan literally had a second child during the toughest stretch of the playoffs, and he came in second. Like, good for him. Like, very, very nice, Dan. If he's still listening to the pod right now, very, very impressive. And Mazel Tov on the beautiful baby, March 27th, Zach Vita birthday. Very nice.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure he wants Juliet to be on the Zach Vita growth chart, but, you know, that's a nice celebrity to have on your birthday, though. Oh, I will say.
Yep. And my buddy Saul had his daughter the day before on my birthday. So another March 26th birthday in the books there.
Hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, Levy's team, looking at Levy's draft, like, he had a nice draft. And, you know, a trade or two got him over the hump. You know, the Lauri Markkanen pick, very nice to start things off.
Oh, wait, I'm cutting you off here. Like, this has been all year. We had the same – every podcast we did, we had the same conversation about Levy's team. Beginning of the year, he drafted nicely. We said, you're going to hit some spells where your team is not really feeling great. Just manage through it. And he just never – like, he never did anything to make this team better. He made one trade great. Like, he really did not do enough to make this team better. Cool to see the streak snapped. Like, I think next year he's going to be right back at the bottom. you know, he had four 11th place finishes in the 5 years prior to this. You know, yeah. Like, maybe he had a taste of it. But, like, so, like, there's certain managers that get a taste of the playoffs. I'm like, all right, like, they're like Duran a few years back when he got to the playoffs. I'm like, all right, like, he kind of feels it. Like, nice. Unfortunately for him, COVID happened that year. And he had the depression the next year, but, like, Jerron's been, like, at least pretty competitive the last few years since then, you know? Levy, I'm not sure he's going to have that kind of turnaround. I don't know that he, and it's always weird with Levy because Levy likes being in the league. Levy likes talking about it, but, like, he just doesn't put the action behind his team. So, I'd love to see his team turn around, but I don't have much optimism going forward, unfortunately. Not the same way I have for Dan.
Yeah, I mean, Levy ended at 59 moves. I mean, you gave a lovely write-off of, you know, Levy's inability to take this roster further. As I will say, just, you know, he took a swing or two. It did help him, like, get over the hump and pass Garrett at least into the playoffs. You know, Kawhi had a very nice season. I think Kawhi still has the same weaknesses. Just because he did it 1 year doesn't mean he's actually going to be healthy, you know, for the next couple. But, you know, Kawhi and Giannis, that's a nice foundation. I guess Nick Claxton's still his late keeper.
If I were Levy, I would have been moving Kawhi to the most ignorant person possible, potentially. Like, I mean, Corey obviously didn't understand his keeper situation. Like, he could have got quite a bit from Corey, I would have imagined. Not that Corey had much on his team. But, like, you could have turned Kawhi into, like, Jaren Jackson, DeMar, and, like, I guess Corey acquired DeMar. He had Brandon Ingram at one point. There's a few guys he could have got from Corey, you know?
Guys. Yeah.
Hell, he probably could have got a draft pick improvement plus those two guys, like, for Kawhi. That may have been the better move here, but, you know, what are you going to do? All right, that's the playoffs. Yeah, you have a bunch of stuff on non-playoff teams. Like, are there any of these that really interest you to talk about?
I mean, we can do quick run through. I mean, I'll say, like, Garrett had a very aggressive season. Kind of like, Jameer last year was very aggressive with the moves. And didn't make any trades. Garrett this season, very aggressive with the moves, made no trades. I mean, feels like he might just be heading towards the same result next year. I mean, just a stagnant season all throughout. I don't really get it. Like, I mean, I guess something to be said for not making deals and just, you know, I mean, whatever, you're not going to go for it, but, like, at least try selling a little bit more and then, like, build for the next year. Like, he seemed to want to make the moves to try and compete, but then he didn't compete this year to get it done. He has something for next year to get it done. So where are we?
Yeah. Look, I kind of get where he's at. Like, he's probably like, if I make it, great. If I don't, I don't. And at least I'm set for next year a little bit. You know, my philosophy on these things, it's like, you should, in our league, you should always be doing something. Like, you should probably be. And, like, to me, there's also the case for, like, if you're in that position, make the moves earlier and then sell. Kind of what I attempted a little bit, and I'm sure there's criticism of me coming anyway. But like, to me, like, you know, it's not so serious, this whole thing, right? Like, it is a fantasy league. Like, you should like try to make the playoffs and see if something crazy happens. You know, your team wasn't the best team this year, but you got some good breaks down the line. So yeah, like to me, like, you should be selling or buying by the trade deadline. Like at that point, even like marginally improve your team. If you think you're happen to stay in it, try to marginally improve your team and go from there. But that's my one critique there. No, Garrett, we've documented on this podcast, Garrett now has missed the playoffs for the last 5 years. His championship is quite a while ago now, back in 2013.
Yeah.
Since then, he's made one final and missed the playoffs quite a bit since then. So maybe he's content resting with that championship. I know I might be a little bit more content once I get that championship off, under my belt.
But once you win, Paul, what's the point? Yeah, we'll go to trouble though. I mean, yeah, my LV boys are kind of in the dregs of the league nowadays. So, but yeah, I will say, the trade market discussions I find to be interesting because it's kind of ever evolving how the trade dynamics work in our league, especially with Conley. But like, look at how your team was so active and up front, and look at your draft board compared to other managers. You were definitely, I think, were rewarded for that aggression and willingness to sell. Yeah. And like when you drag your feet, like the market's not there down the stretch the same way. The demand's not there, I should say.
Well, what's funny about like Garrett's team, right? Like Garrett is like me in that he wants to like he wants to outsmart people, right? Like, not that I've done that often, but like, I feel like I get a kick out of like doing interesting things in the trade market and like finding weird things to do. I'm surprised Garrett wasn't more like that this year, but yeah, like look, and hopefully I draft well. Hopefully I don't pick duds next year. As I've said many times on this podcast, I think it's more about the moves you make in the season than your draft. Average draft position doesn't guarantee a successful season. But yeah, like, you know, we'll see. And you're right. I do think the trade market was pretty interesting this year. Conley does add an interesting layer. And I think it's ever changing too. I think you're right. Like depending on the makeup of who's in the hunt, who's not, definitely changes things. And this year really did feel like the first time in a long time that like it felt like there were three or four teams that were far superior to everybody. And it definitely softened the market for, you know, the middle pack teams and the sellers as well. So,
yeah. I think we could sprint through the rest. I mean, I think Eric and Duran, you know, kind of typical Eric and Duran seasons, you know, they could swing into the playoffs. They could swing out of the playoffs. They swung out. At least we saw them make some moves down the stretch. You know, I mean, those are two teams that I worked with. Andrew got involved with Duran. I think Eric and Justin made a deal, you know, for Siakam and Bridges. Yeah. And these teams are, you know, should be in better positions now, at least to, you know, be above like a Garrett or a John next year, potentially. So, yeah, we'll see how things go. Definitely, Eric's got the keepers to make it happen. So that's teams to watch for next year. And then, you know, I think we hit Paul. Paul into the Jokic era. He definitely needs to cash in next year to make it work.
Yeah, we'll see how this one turns out. You know, I'm not going to replace him. You know, I'll probably regret it the same way I regretted trading LeBron away. I'm kind of shocked at myself for doing it based on that. But yeah, if I want to start him next year, I probably won't give a shit. So, you know, we'll yeah, see. Sure. Like, to your point, like, the people that improved their draft board are like kind of Corey, kind of Trevier. Like, I'm not really concerned about managing against them. So, you know, like, yeah, I should do hope they draft. I hope they draft well to keep other good managers out. So, you know, that would be nice.
Yeah, you're hitting it at the right time, Paul. I mean, I guess in that regard, you know, you got Justin down a few picks, Andrew down a few picks, me down plenty of picks.
I mean, Justin will be back up. Justin's always back up. Yeah, so he'll find his way. Can I actually just say, I probably have to have face-to-face meetings with people on this as the season starts next year. But, like, the reality is if people don't want you to win, if they don't want Justin to win, just don't trade with them.
Well, here we go again.
No, but like, I'm not, look, this is not, like, this is actually me saying this, right? And it's actually a fact. You guys cannot win if you don't make blockbuster trades. Your teams are down enough picks that, like, yes, you could build back, but you're not going to have the goods to win a championship if people don't trade with you. That's all I'm saying. And people need to do the analysis. Like, am I getting enough value? You know, I'm always talking about value in this league. Am I getting enough value that I'm going to be content with Ira winning another championship? That's what you all need to think through. And also, like, maybe Ira's ripping me off because he's always winning the championship.
Ripping? Wow. Ripping off? I mean, come on.
Maybe this is why Ira doesn't do deals with Paul, because Paul values people appropriately.
First off, Ira and Paul made a deal this season, and also Ira gave a little to make the deal happen. So, you know, there's a reason why I consider myself to be the man who's happy to make a deal in this league. You know, everyone comes out a winner when I make a deal with you. I think that's the reality.
No, Ira comes out a winner, everybody. Just keep that in mind. Just keep it in mind. I think next year I'm gonna like start paying for like buying people lunch and be like, I'm gonna send you a $30 gift card over Venmo, DoorDash. I'm gonna send you a Zoom link. We'll have a chat, and like, this is why you shouldn't sell to Ira. You know, that's it. Someone else will buy your guys. Corey's gonna buy your guys. That's fine. Eric will buy your guys. Fine. Just send the same proposals to them. That's all I'm saying.
It's not just me you need to beat. There's plenty of other good managers out there. So, you know, it's, I don't know. It's not as simple as if you don't trade with me.
It's pretty simple. I'm looking at the numbers here. I see a lot of ones in the first row of the table here, okay?
people can also make deals for players. You know, I mean, that's the game. And I lose plenty of deals too. I mean, you know, it's not every deal's a winner. Fucking okay. Wagner stunk. Guy's worthless. Fucking Paul could trash.
I actually do wish that I was also able to sell Pirtle and Vance Williams Jr. or Vince Williams. Just because, like, the joy I would have gotten out of all these guys getting injured on other people's teams just would have made me so happy. I'm really happy I didn't make that deal with Garrett where he was trying to give me Towns. And, like, I was like, it didn't feel right. And then he got hurt, and I'm like, yeah, fuck this. Like, thank God I didn't do this deal. He's apparently coming back on Friday, but I don't trust that guy with anything. So,
yeah, I have a soft spot for the man. He got me sternums, but you know, I understand at this point the reluctance.
The closest he'll ever get to a championship.
All right. And then, I think we hit Trevier. I mean, a fun reset. I think chemistry wise, mojo of fantasy wise, love to see a reset. But, like, I don't know. I feel like we've seen a lot of, like, evolutions between all the moves Trevier made last year, now bringing in Jokic after all these bullshit teams that he put together.
Can he spend, like, 5 minutes less with the violin and 5 minutes more checking his fantasy roster every day?
Well, he needs to play the smallest violin in the world for this drowning fantasy prospect.
Yeah. You say that he's going to have a culture reset. He's just going to surround Jokic with shooters.
Thug shooters.
He's gonna surround him with slashers, with ball hogs. So good luck to that.
And then Corey's team, I'll say I think we touched upon it. You know, definitely a very messy season. Would love to. I attach the anti-taking policy. We could save it for another podcast, but it is due for some updates. The policy does call for inserting a player with an IL tag into the IL slot, which might need to start being enforced next season. But, you know, I also like the 80% rule is not really coming into play anymore for 250 rank. Doesn't seem to be a stiff enough number, I'd say. So some things to think about, you know, with the IL spots, you know, we're saying 13 out of 15 active players. Maybe we need to think about the IL spots when we're looking at how to enforce the rule.
The rank is really hard because, like, it seems so bogus every time I look at it. Like, it doesn't really make sense. Because, like, there are guys that are playing well for, like, a month, and they're still, like, ranked 275. And I'm like, how is this possible?
Yeah. I feel like, if anything, it's, like, the other way almost, where, like, I don't know. Like, a lot of times I think guys are playing well, and, like, they're ranked, like, 170th. It's just, like, you know, like, it's kind of, yeah. I don't know. It's the best we have, I think. I don't know. Like, out of all the options.
Yeah, I just don't know why Yahoo's ranking. Like, I feel like Yahoo's ranks used to be, like, really good. And then, like, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, they just became completely fucking bogus. I don't know what they changed, but it just doesn't make a lot of sense anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's move forward. You know, draft lottery, I guess we could just do a quick rundown. As a reminder, you don't want to get 12th place anymore. 10th place is actually the best spot to be. So, you know, speaking of Trevier and Corey there, but, you know, we have 6th place was Levy at 5% odds. Garrett got 7th, 10% odds. Eric, 15% odds. Duran, 25%. Paul, working hard, 30% odds with that loaded draft board. Definitely looking like a potential bounce back season. And Trevier at 10%. And Corey at 5% with a 12th place finish.
And I had the best possible season of 10th place. I had a lot of fun.
You did it right.
I had a lot of fun. Lose.
That's how. Well, I wouldn't trade away Jokic, but everything else, you did it right.
Well, look, if I'm gonna, here's the thing, right? It's like if you're gonna, what's a good thing here? It's like if you're playing poker, it's like you'd rather kind of like lose a big bet to a shitty player than to like a good player, right? Like I feel like I'm stashing Jokic on Trevier's team. Like, I'm not super worried about it.
Fair point. I mean, you still have
if it, very if it raises his average finish by like 2 spots, that's fine. he's still not going to win a playoff series.
Right. I mean, well, it's not about who you gave him to. It's about who you gave away, I think, when I'm looking at what you've done. Yeah, but
it's okay.
We'll see. Okay. We'll see what KD does. You know, Kyrie's out the door already. But I don't know. Should be fun. I love the buzz. You know, you're number one on like bringing buzz to the league. Paul, I can't take that away from you.
I did. I really brought it this year. I feel like the podcast let's you know take this moment to pat ourselves on the back. I think it's been a good podcasting season. I think we've gotten a lot of really good feedback this year. You know, I think it's just especially a year ago you were thinking about quitting the podcast. So I think it's been a good year. It's been a solid bounce back. You're generally happier in life, I think, right now than you were like 2 years ago, which is good. That makes the podcast better as well. So it's been a successful run here.
Yeah, well, you know, winning a championship or two, being on paternity leave, you know, it puts you in a good headspace, you know?
Like, yeah, so there you go. Your first child and you won a championship, right? So the old myth of both finalists had children within the last 6 months. So, you know, not too bad.
Get to it. Make babies, people. Make babies. Babies equal championships.
Wow, I was really changing his tune here from historical.
All right. Moving forward, speaking, I guess, making babies, like, you know, it did happen when he got that couple together at Krista and the Noise. We had our first, I don't know, I guess, what do we call it? I feel like this was like one of the first successful parent outing enterprises in the in group history.
It was great. It was a great night, wasn't it?
You know, I think I enjoyed myself. I feel like I was being like the only like or one of the solo people out there. Leanna stayed home with Wells, you know, for the adventure. That takes away a little bit from me. I just can't like, but I enjoyed it. Like I enjoyed being there. I enjoyed seeing Kristen, being in Hoboken, seeing the parents, some of the hardest parents in the group, you know, letting themselves go. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And it really taught me something about, you know, boys suck by themselves sometimes. And, you know, you bring the wifey along and suddenly guys can let cut loose, you know. Johnny Rockets bathroom's never the same.
I think I've been a proponent for, you know, at least a year or two now that, like, the worst thing we could all do is, like, go into someone's apartment and just sit. Like, we need to, like, be out and doing something interesting and fun. And What I do love is I feel like the group has now adopted Kristen the Noise, right? Like they're like, oh, it's kind of like All Star Saturday. Like, oh, Paul's gonna be stupid and hype for this, so like I'm also gonna get stupid and hype for this, right? Like it's the same trickle down effect. And the ladies were first off, she's great, Kristen and the Noise. They are a fantastic band. They play our style of music. Mm-hmm. You know, we. I'm shocked that none of us collapsed from the heat in that bar. Everyone was nauseous. So let's just get that out of the way too. I think everyone threw up at me pretty much, which I was like trying to throw up the whole night basically. So like that's successful. Ira was the first person to go home.
It was it was past
besides Amy's friend Jenny and her husband. It was a good time all around. You know, I don't think Hoboken's the best venue, or at least that bar in Hoboken is not the best venue, but everyone had a great time. Lots of talk that night about we need to do something like this more frequently. And just gonna see if we can make it happen.
Yeah, honestly, I like the venue. My only issue is probably the boys' bathroom, you know, being, catching up on lost time for the female gender. Like,
for Garrett's probably going to listen to this. So I think he's probably the only one listening that wasn't there. Duran wasn't there either, I guess. It seemed to be an equal-sized men's and women's room. But for whatever reason, I guess there's, like, not that many urinals, and usually there are. But, like, the guy's line for the bathroom was out the bathroom and up the stairs. And the girls had, like, no line, basically. It was all at the bottom of the stairs if there's any line. And literally every guy was complaining and making the same exact joke of, oh, what is this, the ladies' room? And every girl going to the stairs is just, like, pointing and laughing and be like, now you know how it feels. Complete unoriginality by all of us involved. But it was pretty funny. It helped pass the time as we were about to pee our pants. And, you know, but it was a good night. Like, I personally was out till 3 a.m. We got Amy and I went with Sarah and Andrew to Johnny Rockets. And Andrew actually threw up like a champion in the bathroom at Johnny Rockets. It's a good power move. So, yeah, it was a great night overall, in my opinion. So we got to do more things like that.
Yeah, I guess I don't go to enough concerts. So it's, you know, like, I felt like I was at like a basketball game intermission, you know, because that bathroom line just, I beat it. I went down a little just before the intermission, but like, oof, that was a monster. I felt like my college days, like winning those bathroom lines again, are just like, you know, it's like, everybody needs a sink here. What are we going to do? Come on. Like, but yeah, interesting times. I guess we should discuss your, I feel like people were struggling. You know, I understood your social decorum was, you know, not in place for the prior dinner get together. People were kind of on edge, like, when's Paul going to be ready to pregame? Like, Paul didn't want to go to dinner with us. What's the story here, you know? And you had a lot of stuff to juggle. It was, you know, another beautiful display by you, Paul.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Here's the deal, right? Like, so Amy's friend came, and, like, we never see them. They, so her husband was the offensive coordinator at Maine. He was at Stony Brook this past season, and they were horrible. So he got fired from that and is now going to Holy Cross. So they were living on deep out on Long Island. So even though they were kind of closer, we never really saw them, and they're moving up to Massachusetts pretty soon. So like, we don't see them very often. So I'm like, all right, like, they're coming to Hoboken. We're obviously going to get dinner with them. And also we wanted to go to La Isla, which is, like, you've been there, very small, not a lot of tables. You can't really have more than four people. Well, so I'm like, and then also, like, on top of that, I'm like, I don't want to have to deal with a giant dinner plan. I also don't want to eat a super amount of food. Like, I want to be, like, light enough that I could be drinking. And I knew at least, like four people will be in and out of there in, like, 45 minutes. So I'm like, I had no concern that I'd be back for the pregame. So, like, I was more concerned that everyone else would, like, do too much at dinner, which I can't speak to, obviously. But I think it all worked out pretty well. Like, we probably overbought the alcohol for the pregame, but, like, we were ready in case we all wanted to do it.
You know, we were soft in the pregame, but we all died anyway.
It's not that we were soft. We just didn't have a lot of time. Like, we didn't. True. We literally had, like, 40 minutes tops.
Well, yeah, I think there were some struggles. I think I understood the situation that you had to do your thing, but I think the group failed to appreciate that, like, you needed to do your thing and that, like, we could do our own thing and that's okay. So, you know, it was a
People were upset about, like, fill me in here. Like, people were upset about it.
I don't know if they were upset, but I think there was just some people were like, oh, we need to, like, what's Paul doing? Like, we need to wait for Paul, or, like, we need to, like, when's Paul gonna be ready to pregame? And I was, like, trying to, like, communicate, like, Paul's good, guys. Like, we can move forward here. And, like, there was an inability.
I appreciate you for once coming to my support here as my friend and not just bashing me, because I feel like that's normally the stance you take on these things. But, yeah, I feel like I had it fairly well communicated with everyone, like, hey, I'm doing my own thing for dinner. We'll meet up at this time. We will be there. Come to my room. It's all good. There are certain anxious people in the group that were probably most concerned about it, and not the person listening who thinks that I'm talking about him. It's probably not him. And also, like, just because it's, like, the thing that I like doesn't mean that, like, I have to be the center of every plan. that's kind of my take also. Like, just because like we're seeing Chris, like the way I see it now, everyone in the group's a Kristen Noyes fan now too. So like going forward, this should not be a problem at all. But like, yeah, like we get, like it's Hoboken. It's hard to get dinner reservations. Let's all meet up. I said, I'm going to be ready to go to pregame at by 7:30 come or 8 o'clock. Come meet then. And you know, I think it worked out. I'm glad people seem to get past our anxiety once we centralize at the hotel room and then enjoy the rest of the night. So that's what really matters at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, mission accomplished. And hopefully we can continue our, you know, Kristen and the Noise, you know, groupie tour and, you know, Red Bank or AC or a venue to be determined in the future.
Yeah, I mean, they're always in AC. So, you know, I'm starting to get the itch for that. I think I mentioned that at Andrew and Sarah's birthday last weekend.
Oh, did you? I missed that. I know we've had like a no girl policy in AC, but maybe we've come like full circle. My mind's, you know, I don't know. I'm a parent. I'm a 9-time champion. My mind's evolving, you know?
Yeah, so you're starting to see it now as a parent, right? Like that, what happens is, like, when you get the babysitter and you're able to sleep in at night, the girls are ready to go. Like, they're ready to come out and show out. So, like, yes, I think they do bring an added level. Like, it's just, it's good fun, Ira. I'm glad you're finally embracing girls, you know, after all these years. It's very nice.
Well, you know, I'm not like a John Stein where you needed to send me out of the country to, you know, let women enter the picture. But
are you concerned that Leanna's going to hold you back?
Hold me back? Nah.
She wasn't there. You know, she could have been holding you back if she was there. You never know.
Well, she might have had her own child's distance struggles. So that's another thing we need to work on, you know?
I feel like she's probably turning the corner on that, though. You know, like
I mean, she hasn't missed work yet, so we've had a nice 4-day run. So
That's right. You know, she just needs to get someone that you trust to babysit. Like, a group outing with the girls in AC could be a lot of fun. Like, I know, like, Amy's always jealous whenever we go to AC, so, like, she would be dying to go. Yeah, so I think the girls did perform very well this occasion. Yeah, it was great. It was a good time all around. I think definitely the Red Bank thing was going to happen. I think we should probably do an AC one, too. That's my thought.
Red Bank's like June, right? I think or something.
Yeah, something like that. June, July, somewhere in there.
All right. So yeah, then we got like late summer, early fall. You know, get it in there before the Rutgers tailgate. Yeah, we'll be rolling. Yeah, I already get in talk of Rutgers tailgate. I think you know how Scott is. He always gets chipper about planning things. So you know. He's like, I don't want to mention it because I know, like, you know, I might get shit if I, you know.
I mean, I think we've done our due diligence. Yeah, we've already communicated what game it's going to be. So, like, yeah. I think we're good for now. I know how it's going to be. What food do we need? Scott, we have a spreadsheet from last year. We will refer to that. It's fine.
Yeah.
When I was talking about certain anxious people that were not listening to this podcast, might be alluding to that direction.
All right. I guess. All right. Anything else to hit, or have we? We've made a round. I guess. Hopefully, we're able to slice these together, right? I guess we lost like 10 minutes of the.
Yeah. Top. No. Well, it was actually like there was 1 minute of excess on the previous recording, so we'll be fine there. Any interesting parenting notes of late? Any interesting things going on in the household?
I've been off for a couple 2.5 weeks now, which is nice. Getting a little daddy rhythm going. It feels much more normal now, I guess. You know, like, I understand the child, I feel like, which is helpful. Leanna's gone back to work, so that's a big step for the family unit. We're also starting to, like, get, like, a fist raise going, which is exciting. It's kind of feeling semi, like, Nazi salute-ish. So I'm, like, hoping that it doesn't like go in that direction, but I mean, they don't know any better, right? You can't blame them if it gets to that point.
I mean, he'll be in a different phase by next month anyway. So like, you know, these kids change pretty quickly. So hopefully, you know, brainwash them out of that pretty soon.
Yeah. Everyone gets a 1 month grace period for when you're a toddler for Nazi salutes. We're good. Yeah. We did our first trip to Florida to see the in-laws, so
that's a big deal. That's getting on a plane. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, we survived the plane ride. What are your thoughts on a diaper changing in public? Like, do you find that, like,
so like
yeah, go on.
Amy's like, so like we were, where were we recently? We were at like a restaurant and like Charlie pooped and Amy's like, oh, like I'll just change him on the bench there. I'm like, if we could do it in the bathroom, let's just do it. Like, can we do it in the bathroom? Is this kind of what you're talking about? Like,
yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah. You're talking about the airport?
Well, I mean, Leanne is very much like anywhere is acceptable yeah. to change.
I think Amy's like that too. The women get away with it more than we do because no one's going to say shit to them. I prefer. Also, I will say, like, most places I find that we go to now have like a pretty solid like changing table in the bathroom. Like, yeah. I guess the one place we had went that was an issue was we go to this like diner in Plainfield that's like pretty small. And Amy's like, oh, let's just change him on the bench. I'm like, it's kind of gross. The kitchen's like right there, but the bathroom was also kind of nasty. So like, then you got to make a call, and it's I'm like, we go here a lot, so I don't want to like sour them on us, and they're really nice to us. So like, Charlie will deal with it for a minute. But like, yeah, generally, like once you get over that mental block, it's really not the worst thing in the world. But to your point, I try to go to the bathroom with him if possible.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize like the situation. I mean, Lana's been doing her thing for months now. You know, I'm around at times, but I don't know. A shitty diaper only happens so often. Where like we don't have the stroller to change it or something. But yeah, it was like we're on the flight going down there, and it's just like I'm gonna change him, and I just didn't realize like he was going on my lap, and you know he was getting changed right there in the seats. That was
interesting. So I've done it in the bathroom in the airplanes is wild. I've done it a few times.
There's a table in there now.
There's a table. It's really small, and like you're in that tiny room already.
Flight tray,
like,
I guess, kind of thing.
And then the turbulence comes, and you're just like praying that like any moment that shit could come like falling, like the diaper could just fall off of there. But like it's always gone okay. There's very little room for error. The plane is the one place I would probably try to go to the bathroom because they have the table. There is more room if you have the three seater for the three of you, but
well, you know, people are sensitive on the plane. And the stranger next to us, you know, just
there's a stranger. I would have been like, oh no. See, yeah,
I would have been like
Amy, I will go take him to the bathroom. Like at that point, you should have as the dad been like, Leanna, don't worry, I got it. I will bring him to the bathroom.
You let it happen. I mean, if I was that 24-year-old next to me, I would have definitely had some thoughts in my brain.
Yeah, that kid's never gonna fly again. I've done it like in public though, like at like a it depends also like the context, right? Like if you're at the park, anything goes. Because like in the park, it's other families with kids who understand what you're doing.
Park,
play places, like anything like that, like. Whatever it like, anything goes to me.
Yeah, and I think she has like a bit of like a porta potty like phobia, and I feel like the airplane bathroom is kind of, you know, it's getting to that territory. So I think that was kind of what I was at play. But
that makes sense.
But yeah, makes sense. Dynamics, you know. But yeah, everything else is good though. Yeah, we did the Florida trip, the flights. Man, we had a couple hour delay or several hour delay in the airport, but we got through that. You know, I don't know, he's resourceful. Daycare starts in a week and a half, so
nice. That's
gonna be a brave new world.
He's normalcy. He's at a good age now, where like, you know, 6 months they start to like become more human. Like I always say, like three months they become like not an alien, and then 6 months are kind of like human. So like he's at a good age. You know, it's all up from here. So that's good. I think on my end with the parenting, what's going on now? Charlie turned one yesterday. So a little celebrating there. Brought him for some ice cream. Brought him for some ice cream, and nothing else. Nothing else too eventful.
Joey's lookmaying you or buffeting you all left and right. Yeah.
What's that?
Joey's buffeting you left and right at this point. Yeah.
She's doing buffing.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Okay. Based on the text I sent today, that's fair. You'll like this. So Charlie, like. He might wind up being a decent athlete, I think. Like for a long time we've like rolled we have a little soccer ball. We like roll it back and forth to each other, and he'll like throw it sometimes and always like right to me, which is pretty cool. Recently he understands that it's a soccer ball, this little ball that he has. And like, cause I'll stand there and I'll kick it back to him when he throws it to me sometimes. he started from kneeling, he'll like swing his leg out and kick it to me. And then he's been starting to like prop it, like stand himself up and then try to kick the ball. Hmm. And semi-successfully. So pretty cool. Pretty cool there. So that's exciting stuff. We'll get my hopes up there.
All right, nice.
On the flip side, we brought Joey to soccer practice last Friday for the first one of her new season. She had soccer in the fall too, and she loved it. Now in the spring, she said it was too cold and didn't want to play. So we'll see how this the season goes.
Have you gotten the hands diagnosed yet? Do you think she has the?
Well, she was complaining that her hands are cold. Her hands were cold.
Oh man!
Yeah, yeah.
Damn.
So we're just gonna, we'll bring her gloves this coming time. But she was also saying she was hungry the whole time. So like,
Well, girls' see, basketball's in the winter, right? So she can skip winter track.
That'll be indoor. Yeah, that'll be indoor.
Yeah. Funny, yeah.
No. What's funny is my hand thing has gone away. That's what's really interesting about it.
You think?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You've been in the cold for an hour. Like, I mean.
Yeah. They don't turn like white anymore.
Okay.
But it's probably because I was like malnourished, basically. I was like below the weight chart, you know.
I suppose. Yeah, I guess this was like 9th or 10th grade, right? So yeah. You were pretty.
Yeah.
You were scrawny back then.
Yeah.
Did you not eat though? I felt like you ate.
Oh, I ate I ate all the time. It was like not like it's like my parents didn't feed me. I just like didn't. I didn't have a huge appetite, and even when I ate a lot, it didn't really stick. So.
Yeah. That football weight never got there. What did you need to be, 150 or something?
I had to be 100 pounds. That was the rule.
Oh,
I came into 9th grade at like 70 pounds.
Really?
Yeah. Then I gained 15 pounds after cross country freshman year, and then 10 pounds every year after that. Every year after cross country, I maintained during cross country, and then I gained 10 pounds afterwards.
Yeah, Oshawa-Tawash season came in, and then it was game over.
No, I mean, like, I would have like milkshakes and like protein bars, and like I would try to eat a lot. During cross country season, I didn't drink soda during cross country season, at least the last 2 years of cross country, because it messed me up basically.
Soda messed you up that soda life, man. That's sad.
Yeah.
Soda's the one thing. I can still have soda at least.
Oh, I still have to have soda with pizza and burgers. Like that's my thing. Like I don't really have soda around, but if I'm having a burger or pizza, I have to have soda with it.
Yeah, mine's more like whiskey and bourbon, but you know, similar, yeah.
How often are you having whiskey and bourbon these days? Are you drinking right now?
I had my beer. I brought a second, but I don't think I need it. I don't need to bring any more spice to the podcast. I think I'm good. But I haven't had a bourbon in a while. It's a fair point.
Is it progress that we have not had a podcast in a while that we've had to like binge drink to get ourselves through it?
It's a fair point. I guess Corey didn't bring us to drinking this season, I guess, with his deals. But, I think if usually it's Justin's involved if we're really reaching that point. I think it just speaks to, you know, I bring integrity to the league, Paul. No, I mean, that's
you bring integrity to the league.
Correct. That's why we can have successful seasons. I'm the deal broker that gets the things across the finish line.
I think the Conley Accords have kept us from tragedy is what's happened here.
That's definitely part of the equation.
Justin and Corey did have a questionable trade this year, but it didn't drive us to drink because it was still safeguarded by some rules. So.
That was definitely that was worse about Corey's thinking than when Justin got back, but I don't know. Yeah. Between Corey and Dan keep us on our toes, you know, so and Shingun was a good pickup, but he got hurt too when it mattered. So yeah. Just not meant to be for the non-immortals out there. Yeah. But you keep building up your coalition, Paul. You're welcome to try and blacklist me from the league, you know. Do what you got to do.
I will keep going out at hours for as long as you're winning. You know, that's people have to understand. You know, their actions have consequences. That's what I've been trying to say for all these years. That's really what it comes down to.
Half the league's immortals, so you know. I mean, I understand you haven't won yet, but you know, plenty of other people have gotten it done. Trevor's got 4 sternums.
What if? Trevier and Dan Weiser had four sternums. People forget how those sternums were built.
Yeah, I updated the
you don't keep Anthony Randolph and wind up at the championship without a little help from your friends. That's all I'll say.
Dan Weiser got second place too before he left the league. You know, that was another team that, you know, had a nice run.
Yeah, he set John up nicely.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, John, all-time cumulative records, which, you know, I updated Corey's record book that he keeps, you know, going for, you know, Corey made it like 10 years ago when we told him he was slacking. John's third place in the, you know, cumulative record listing, 0.532.
Yeah, it's not surprising.
Yeah, it's been a nice run of playoffs at least. But, yeah, you're the next team that non-immortal out there.
I'm next behind John.
Yeah, well, you're 0.503. So,
well, because at this point, it's what? Me, John, Corey, Levy, Dank.
Duran.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Eric won his first season. That was another team that inherited like a blockbuster from Zach Shapiro. So,
did Zach Shapiro also inherit a blockbuster? I'm trying to remember.
I think, well, it went from probably Edelman to Mike
Golan. Yeah.
To Zach Shapiro. So I don't think Mike Golan could have done that much damage. And I think he played two seasons, it looks like.
Yeah, maybe about that. It's so funny. Like, I'm friends with him still. And like, I always forget that he was in the league for like multiple seasons.
Yeah. This is why we keep a history, boys. That's why we keep a history.
Another, like, you know, we always talk about the connections on my street. My neighbor two doors down, he works with Matt Edelman.
I think you just mentioned this on Sunday.
Did I mention this? Okay. Did I? I actually don't remember that.
We were talking about neighbors, and I was saying you guys need to like start like, you know, you should have a community like interview of anybody who wants to move on to the block.
Oh, I didn't bring this up though for that.
No.
Okay. I was saying that my next door neighbor who babysat John proposed to us that we all sit outside and just basically scream people and then heckle them if we don't seem to like them.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. And yeah. You've got a unique block. I don't know if this exists anymore, but I guess at least on your street it does.
Yeah, it's funny too because I really didn't want, like, you know, to have like a relationship with my neighbors, but I like them, so it's working out fine.
Well, there's safety in numbers, or so they say, right? So, you know, if you're not gonna get a gun unless you can have some neighbors look out for you.
Sure, it didn't do me much last time, but you know, it's okay.
Well, I guess you were the new kid on the block back then, right? So, you know, it makes sense. Like, you're the new guy's the target, no?
Yeah, it's more the geography of my house that we had a access directly from the church behind us, which has now been closed off. Hmm. It was like a hole, a gate, a hole in the fence, basically, that they could come through. It's been sealed off.
So you're saying it was anti-Semitism, basically?
I don't know how you got there.
Well, the church clearly has a connection to the entire
to the thieves.
Yeah, I mean, well, it was definitely a church resource. Something to consider having the authorities look into. I'm just saying.
I'll message the police and let them know your theory here.
You do you. All right. I think have we done our job here?
I think so. We got to set dates for manager's meeting. I don't think we have anything major, but obviously we usually have our pre-manager's meeting pod to talk about like what we should be talking about. So I guess we'll do that.
I definitely think I might a Conley Accord brainstorm maybe. You know, I mean, there's definitely opportunities for improvement.
Yeah, I don't know if I have the energy for it. That's the thing.
Yeah, I'm personally fine with that. I think, I don't know. I mean, if you get Garrett in a bad mood, you know, he's going to start putting together simplification acts because, you know, there's too many things happening.
Our simplification complication acts.
That's fine.
John will propose all waivers system, as always. continuous waivers, whatever the hell it's called. Yeah. So, whatever. I don't know. I don't know how much we're going to have this year. And we move down to 5 moves a week to, you know, keep things at bay. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, trade cap, you know, whatever you gotta do, Paul. Roto. Yeah, there's a lot of options. Roto would definitely change everything. So
the question is anyone going to propose putting Corey in receivership? That's going to be the real debate.
Receivership.
Well, the same way we do with Dan.
Like putting him on probation for a couple of seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of harmless just voting up and down on trades. It's not like the craziest thing in the world. I don't know. Hey, he had one ridiculous deal. That was it. Or I mean, if you want to call the deal he had with me ridiculous, that's, I don't know. We can discuss that at the meeting. I don't know if we're there yet, but whatever. It's more so just about setting your lineups. I think that's the biggest thing. But
the easiest thing to do, even though Yahoo, again, they set the lineups based on bizarre rankings. And, you know, I think I paid for Yahoo Plus this year. It was like $8. I think I paid for it this year as I wanted to see what it was like. It had no value. I mean, when I say no value, it had nothing.
Maybe they give you like more projections or something. No,
I mean, yeah, it was stupid.
Yeah. Right, I guess that's why you got 10th place then. At least you have an answer.
Nah, I'm sure I would have come in 11th place without it probably, but you know, it was not super helpful. It was not super helpful.
All right. Let's take some time. We can recharge. We'll think about our off-season conversation topics. You know, we have the 2-day NBA draft. I mean, Paul's got some
wait, what? To do.
Did NBA I miss that? 2 days now.
Yeah. Why?
Why? Because why not? The NBA wants to make a NBA draft. 2 days. Let's see. I'm sure Duran can give some insight. June 26th, first round. June 27th, second round. Yeah.
The whole fun of the draft is that, and you try to get out of here and then you start giving me reasons to rant. What's great about the draft is that, like, we come, we watch the first round, everyone goes home, and then, like, the picks get rattled off every 2 minutes after that, and it's done in, like, you know, 45 minutes, basically. And you just kind of, like, and all those little trades happen. And then the next day, like, the free agency begins. Like, this is really stupid, and I think they'll stop doing it after 1 year. Because no one's going to tune in to watch the second round of the draft.
I mean, it's definitely not going to get huge ratings.
It's an hour. It's 2 minutes per pick. It's ridiculous.
Well, they're increasing the minutes to 4 minutes between a pick.
That's so stupid.
5 minutes for the first round. I'm just thankful the first round isn't expanding from like 5 to 10 minutes or something.
The front office should fight back against this, and everyone should just make their picks in 2 minutes out of solidarity.
They wanted to have more time. I think that was the
second round picks are meaningless. I mean, come on. Also, this year is the wrong year to do it. It's literally supposed to be the worst draft of all time.
It's got more depth. I don't know, but yeah, Bronny James, man. But
yeah, whopping like 3.5 points a game in college. Good to see he's going pro.
Was it usually on a Thursday? Now it starts on Wednesday.
Yeah, always on a Thursday. Always like the third Thursday of June.
Okay, well now it's the fourth Wednesday of June.
So. That's annoying. It's fucking stupid.
Well, set your calendars, boys. Wednesday, June 26th. First round of the NBA draft. And we want to leave early this year for once at least.
Let's see if I have a vacation booked already. Let's see. No, I'm free. I'm going to put in the calendar right now before I get overdone. Where did we watch it last year?
Where did we watch it? Did we do Treviers last year?
I don't know.
I feel like it was Treviers. I don't think we were at your place, so I don't know where else we would have been.
If people were willing to come, I could probably host it. I feel like draft is a better suburbs holiday than All-Star.
I guess you're more central than anyway. Relatively, I don't even know. For the southern people, I guess you're closer to them.
Well, just there's no parking issues. That's what it really comes down to.
Fair point. Yeah. You don't want to spend the $30 on parking, yeah. Definitely easier. Do you have a good relationship with your Domino's?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I can't say we've ordered it that much here. Maybe once or twice. We've just been like off the Domino's wagon. There's no Pizza Hut around here, which you know we've kind of converted to Pizza Hut as a family. But Yeah, once or twice you've had it, it's been pretty good.
All right. No, nah, the Hut doesn't do it for me. So, yeah, let's. Domino's are. I'm more like a Papa John's kind of person. I always like. I always enjoy a good Papa John's.
You don't like a deep dish pizza, basically.
Yeah, not as much.
I love the pan pizza situation that they got going at Pizza Hut. Anyway, I think we're boring people now. So, Ira, it's been a pleasure as always. Everyone else, stop trading with Ira. And, you know, thanks for listening for another season. Year 20, EBTBBY, you know, not the best, not the worst. That's what I'd say. So just in the books.
A competitive season, a memorable season with Dank's exploits, the movement of Jokic, you know, and Corey's keeping us on our toes. So a lot to deal with still in the years ahead. Looking forward to doing it again for another 20, boys.
Let's see if we can maybe like draft in Florida next year.
You want to go in Florida? I'm down. I'm not holding the league back. That's for sure. But yeah, we can discuss it. We can discuss. In person draft would be already something for us. I think to get a quorum for an in person. We'll talk about it.
All right, everyone. Have a great night. Thanks for listening. Peace out.